The Honest Wargamer, an honest and independent show run by gamers for gamers. We bring you the latest in critical meta discussions, zany list tech, and deep dive discussions about the hobby as a whole. We are supported by our fantastic patrons and Twitch subscribers. If you'd like to support us and join the team, that would be awesome. Don't forget all you hydro homies, stay hydrated. Now get yourself comfy. Rob is now here for today's episode of Stream Streak.
Who's the wittier one, Joe or Jacob from the Rage of Sigmar?
Yes.
Jacob on the fly, Joe Longton.
Oh, welcome, viewers.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Unsworn Game. I'm your host, Rob. Welcome to Stream Streak Day 198. Are we dating? From Party at the All Points, one of my favouritest people in the whole hobby. He's strong, he's agile, thanks for asking, and he likes to play Necrons and shoot your face. first question for the Twitch chat, I'd like everyone to know, as I then talk to Dayton. We just talked off air.
Did GW screw up by not making the rule book digital? Yes. The answer is yes. I'm sorry. I'm taking that away from you.
No, that wasn't the question. Anyway, I'll ask Twitch chat. We'll get to you in a moment. Dayton, how are you? You well?
Doing fantastic. Awesome to be here. It's been 2 weeks?
Yeah.
It's too long.
You've been busy, though. You've been doing very important things. Tell us what you've been doing.
Oh, are we going to get serious?
Just get serious for a moment.
I'm negotiating a contract with a big company, and it's been a lot of hard work, so... And you don't get paid for it, but it's fun.
Dayton crushing it for the little man or the big men who lift heavy things.
Deirdrin, big dick day. Alex is not here, unfortunately, so I can only assume
he is here. He's strong, he's long, and he's down to say G dibs are wrong. Well done. There we go. So loads of stuff to talk about today. Two codexes were released yesterday. I don't think they were officially released, but they are now in everyone's hands and online. So well done, Games Workshop, fucking that one up. But please continue, because it's a much better way for me to get it. I get it a week earlier than I meant to. Great. Yeah, and it's not as expensive as normal. Discount.
Yeah, here's the thing. Like, I've always gotten my codexes because I'm in a remote location. The honest way. I'll pay my $40 for the advanced digital copy that updates and had no problem. I would never got a whole lot of pirated stuff. And if I did, I would be getting the codex anyways. Now that option is taken away from me. Well, fuck you. I'm going to read every document that's sent my way. And I had like three documents of the Necron book sent to me yesterday. So every one of them was like, shh, don't tell anyone.
My favorite version was the French version.
Yeah. Which I drastically was like, okay, I know French people. Here, I have a project for you. What is this? It's a game. Don't worry about it. Just translate it for me, please.
It's like when I got sent like eight versions of the German Luminous Rome Lords book. Like, different people just kept sending me it. And I was like, I don't want it. They're like, here it is. And I'm like, stop. Stop this. Anyway, hello everyone, welcome to the show. If you're listening to Patreon, thank you for supporting the show, appreciate you loads. If you listen to the podcast, thank you for downloading it, thank you for leaving us a review, and thank you for staying hydrated, you hydro homie. That's right. Some people introduce themselves now, like, hey Rob, hydro homie here, just seeing how you are. If you're a YouTube yeller, thanks for also being part of the team. And Perkysaurus, yes, Perkysaurus, I missed you, how you been? Welcome back. But if you have joined us live on Twitch, like Magos Sockbert, sorry again, hello. Honest Wargamer water bottle when? Listen, the saga of us being able to make an Honest Wargamer water bottle has been such a long story. If you could just tweet James Powell, he loves that question coming up once a week. We have a chat for all the merch, and I occasionally will just go, hey everyone! Rob and Nathan body pillows. Yeah. And then James just goes, sometimes he removes me from the group and then brings me back later.
So
Dayton, you can't donate money to the show while you're live on the air.
What?
You just donated money to the show. Dayton, stop it.
Go get yourself a jam sandwich, Rob. People worry about you.
Oh, God. For fuck's sake. for fuck's sake. Okay. Thanks, man. Thanks. Okay. Right. So the first suggestion is
Derailing Rob in his conversation. Yes. Yeah. It's my favorite thing to do.
It just makes you so awkward. I don't know what to do. And you're also on the air, so. Right. Okay. The books are out. My question
the dice are sold out. I think that should be the biggest topic.
Yeah. Talk to me about it. What do you think?
The dice are horrible. You'll never be able to read it, and they're banned for everything, but yet they're sold out.
Yeah. Are we banning them from events? Is that the plan?
Personally, yes. I'm banning them from my games because I can't read your dice. There's too many iconography. Give me pips. Just F off.
So I played the game of 40K last night, and I fucking loved it. I'm falling in love with 40K more and more every day. But my favorite bit was when rolling off for the first turn, me and Nick, I played Nick from the 40K show, Fit Nick, as we all know him, we both looked at each other, we rolled the dice, and both out of our hands came one Lumineth Realm dice each. Yeah, and then we just finger gunned. We were like, "Wee!" Because Nick always has in his dice tray, he has one giant dice, and then one, like, minuscule dice, like, ridiculously small. So when he rolls to see who, like, chooses board side, he always rolls the giant dice. And then people are like, "Oh, this is stupid." And then, like, on the rolling to seize or rolling for first turn, he then normally rolls the tiny dice. Which is, it's always a weird start to a game with him, but it's always really fun. But now the Lumineth dice is the best one. It's just like,
how long do those take to stop?
Huh? Oh, not very long.
How long do they take? No?
He also rolled one, so it landed end up.
Hmm.
Which is amazing.
The trifecta, where you get to pick your own result. Yeah. I heard that.
It's
part of the rules packet for those dice.
So you said something on air. Oh, sorry, not on air. When we were off air a minute ago on the show, which I loved. Could you just do that quote again? If there's anything you've learned from, that's how it starts.
Oh, I see. We're setting me up. Yes. Mm-hmm. We were talking about doing musicals. And how musicals are fantastic. And like I said, if anything that Trey Parker and Matt Stone have told me is hardcore information is best delivered via music.
Which got me to thinking, because I was on the phone with a particularly famous 40K player yesterday, which was a nice time. And we were talking about like delivering information to people and what's a good way of doing it. And never until you've just suggested it have I thought through the medium of song. And now it's all I can think about. I feel like we could do a great show tunes codex review. You might want to play Ultramarines, but if you think you want to be tanky, then Iron Hands or something. I'm not. You know I can't carry a tune, everyone, but...
Jesus.
Are you telling me okay. You wouldn't listen to that?
No. For like 5 minutes of fun, and then I think I'd bail like everyone else.
Why would you have it longer than 5 minutes? You just like, you know how you grab all the information? You know when someone's like, "Hey, I'm reviewing a codex. This is a 4.5 hour podcast." You're like, "I'm going to listen, but I feel like you could have done this in a shorter, you could have done this better."
So let's talk about that. You haven't read it yet. You are getting ready to read it.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to read it this afternoon.
Here's the best hot take I can say about it. Okay. Is if you go right to the end page to the points, they've map the points so much better. So they give you all your characteristics of your weapons like they did before, mm-hmm. but they don't have points associated to them anymore. Now it breaks it down to like troops or core, elite, fast attack, heavy, and then it shows the unit, how many models per unit, and the points. And then there are options underneath. But most of their options have already been tied into their point cost.
Wow, okay.
Like, so, it's just so easy just to look at and be like, "Okay, cool, that's what it would cost me."
Like the Age of Sigmar method.
Basically.
That's brilliant.
Except it does have it, like, there are add-ons, right? So
Yeah. And some of the changes, I'd love to ask you about some of the changes that we're currently seeing, because I think some of them are structurally, like, absolutely brilliant. But, like, so hot take, the points restructuring is really, really good, yeah?
Yeah, big time. Yeah, they've upped the points quite a bit. Different than what the leaks have been telling me. So that was a big step back first. But man, did they make some things really strong, but really pointed. So you're do you want the Silent King or do you want a Shard? Because you can't really have both.
Oh, okay. All right. So they're both significant in the game.
Oh, they're huge. Like, they're massive. The Mortal Wound generation from the book now is big. It's a lot bigger than it was. So the Silent King comes with a dynasty that allows you to ignore Mortal Wounds on a 5-up for all your units. Mm-hmm. And it didn't seem that significant unless you're playing against, like, T-Sons or something. Yeah. But I think the Mortal Wound... I want to look at the Marine book. I want to see the trend. But they might be Mortal Wounding the game up, like Age of Sigmar. And yes, Ziggy, you can come after me if Rob starts singing again.
It's not that I'm going to sing. It's that we're going to do an entire Codex review in song. And I'm not saying I'm going to sing. I'm just gonna do the thing that I always do, which is get more talented people than me, get them together, make something happen. Yeah, because like that's what I want now, and I think that works super well. I knew an opera singer. I used to date an opera singer, but I don't think she'd do it. But that would be a funny way to do it. We want more show tunes, right? We want like jazz hands, like really elaborate. Really,
there's a lot of questions I could take you with that opera singer thing, but I think I should probably leave them alone.
The only thing I really learned from that relationship is 1, opera singers cheat on you. Number 2, yeah, is that they don't like the loot. Which I was like, what's wrong with looting?
Oh, I thought you were talking about like a loot. Like,
like... talking about, I don't think it's even played like this, a lute. A lutist.
Oh, yeah, that's sorry. Yeah, yeah. I was thinking accordion for some stupid reason. A lute, yes.
Yeah, Nathan could potentially sing it, but again, he's not got the greatest voice. I wonder who of the Honest Wargamer crew is the best singer. Probably Tom. He probably like belts out like a crazy Welsh baritone, which would be super weird. So let me ask you some questions. Some key changes that we've seen in Codexes is points. Points for relics. How do you feel about that?
Okay, so... there are still relics in the game, and okay. They still are based on the same principle. You get the 1 per warlord, and you can buy an additional 1, but you can only buy 1 additional 1. So you only have 2 relics. But what they did do was they took all the technomancers, is what they call them now. So like all the, they got 4 different ones now, and they gave them additional relic like items that you can take with them. And they're all pointed like 20 to 30 points. And they're good. They're basically relics. So there's 2 now. Instead of just having like a stacked relics of buying this with strategy points, you can only take 2. But now you can buy 1 specifically to certain characters. So it's neat. More options. And they're expensive. So you really have to consider it.
Which is good. I think that's nothing but positive. I used a relic yesterday. Arguably... last night's game of 40k was the most fun I've ever had playing 40k. I had the red roller on a Bonebreaker battle wagon, if you know what any of that does.
Yes. Okay. It melees.
Yeah, well. It melees, but it melees like very well. So it was an extra 6 attacks. So I start. So it's basically 12 attacks, strength 9, AP 2, damage 2, weapon skill 2. Right? So on a vehicle. And the best bit is Nick suggested, which I was like, I was just going to put it on the board, but Nick suggested put it in Deep Strike and then use the stratagem where you can roll 3d6 and you do mortal wounds when you charge as well. And it was the most fun I've ever had. I basically bring on a tank that's a rocket, and then I just launch it, and he just slew a Wraith Lord, which is hilarious. It's just it's just a dumb battle wagon that just like, it's like a, like you know the stratagem, the flying headbutt where you blow something up? It's nowhere near as cool as that. Like, it's like, this is so cool. It's the most fun I've had. And I can't wait to do, because also you can deep strike it into quite a small area. It's like fairly large, but it's only the like same size as like most kind of vehicles, which is like pretty good for deep striking. So I just in the future can't wait to just randomly ramrod stuff off the board. It's the most fun. But relics are cool, yeah. Is what I'm saying.
I played against one in a doubles tournament, and yeah, they're really durable. And they come at you like a hot flying bird. Yeah. Yes.
It's
birds come at you.
It's the best.
Yeah, Kadrid, James Powell would be my recommendation for who would sing well.
I don't think he would be the one. I don't know. I think...
Well, those little guys get so used to raising their voices their whole life because they don't get heard that I feel like they just develop really good vocals.
I reckon Bud could organize a choir to do it. That would be good.
All his kids.
Yeah, that would be so funny. completely been overriding by this conversation. How did you feel about the formatting of the books? You said that you enjoyed the points. What about the rest of it? Do you think it was organized well?
Yeah, I think it's done really well. I want everyone else's books now. Because, like, everything, it gives you good stuff. But, like you said, it's pointed well that you can't have it all. And there's so many list ideas I can think of right now. And I just want to start playing games. But is it fair to play this book against people that don't have a book like it, right?
Oh, do you That's think that it's like a level above some of the other books?
Yeah, like I said, I got to see that Space Marine book. Mm. I want to kind of compare them and see what they've done. I've heard that they've taken quite a bit of nerfs.
I mean,
which makes sense.
From god to demigod is fine, I think.
Yeah, you know all those aggressors that you bought? Oh, it's...
But you can buy more of these heavy intercessors. Like, thank you so much.
Terminators, remember those? They're cool.
Can I tell you one of the things that I found like most interesting about my game last night? Again, was yes. The terrain. I'm a little bit obsessed with how much the terrain has impacted the game now. I find it brilliant. We used quite a lot of terrain. There was loads of line of sight blocking stuff. So like, there were some fire lanes which were really really positive. For me, my met guns though weren't able to affect most of the board. There was like only very specific. I put them in very clear open paths so they could get shot, but they could also return fire. But just being able to hide Gazzy, being able to hide certain models and run around the board, just meant the game was so much more electric. And my opponent and me were both making choices. Although Nick had like a Wraith Lord that could like see through a wall and also sniper, so my Pain Boy got like smoten across the earth.
Elder shenanigans. It's fine.
Yeah, screw those guys. And also, big shout out to Pete in the chat. What up? And Tibble's Evil Cat, thank you for being here. I'm not actually the sexiest man on the show today. That is Dayton's job. In fact, I'm never the sexiest man on the show unless it's just me.
Me and my spoons are doing
the
all right.
Spoons is a vibe. Can we talk about what the spoons are there for? Like, what are the spoons about?
It's just a nice picture of spoons. What's not to like? And then what else do I got? Oh!
Oh! Nice paints, good.
And there was it was all a dream.
That's a good background. As you can see, I've relocated to the antiseptic. Well, you can't see right now, sorry. But I've relocated to the antiseptic white wall of the studio. Eventually, I'll get that YouTuber background. Mm-hmm. But I always like I feel like the whiteness is meant to really denote the purity and honesty of the show. That's why
the bleached anus of all rooms. Yes. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, nice, mm-hmm. Clear. Nothing there anymore.
Yeah, not to distract. I just want all the attention on me. How much did you fork out for that picture of the spoons? Says Nick.
I think it was handed down. But it was all a dream. That was like $120, I think.
Wow. Okay. All right, so we've talked about the. Has anyone got any questions about the books generally? So, structure of the books. How did you find the data sheets? Are there? Because this is a big question for me. Are there more rules on the data sheets? Like previously, when 8th edition first came out, data sheets generally, like if you wanted to find the unique thing about a unit, pretty much it was written on the weapon profile, not necessarily in their like abilities. Whereas Age of Sigmar is all about the abilities on the units a lot of the time. Did you find any of that, like, do you find that there are more abilities now? Like, they've tried
to,
like...
they're massive.
Yeah.
All the information's on the cards, and when you get to the Silent King, you got to read that one for a while. There's so much going on with him.
Yeah.
Well, it's a book on itself.
Do you think it's, like, a Nagash level piece?
Yeah, Karkadrak, or not Karkadrak, what the hell is his name, from Bone Reapers?
Catacross.
Yeah, Catacross, or... like Archeon or something like that. Basically very comparable.
Yeah, I wonder if anyone's going to do the eventual Necron and Ossiarch Bone Reapers kitbash eventually.
Oh, it's getting done for sure.
Someone's doing
it. And then
it.
Throw in some Seraphon too, like they do.
Oh yeah, just to make it a little bit like Star Lizardy. I think that works. Have there been points changes since the chapter approved book?
Yes. Okay. Big time.
Okay. And I've heard over 40 stratagems. Is it like 38 useless stratagems and 2 good ones, or many?
They're specific to units, as I'm looking at my photographic memory. Okay. Yeah, like there's a lot more like unique things about the strategies now. I feel like they're really tied. I think that's they got rid of some of the abilities, like the Night Stalkers, the sniper boys, Death Stalkers. Mm-hmm. Their ability to now come in and snipe someone when they deep strike is tied to a stratagem, as opposed to just having it as a data sheet. So things like that, I think they took away and kind of made them stratagems now. There's still a lot. Like, the whole game is around stratagems, again.
Okay.
But Necrons can counter it.
Well, that's good. So what about the command protocols? Like, do you feel like, because I think that they're going to be a really fun element of the game. So the command protocols...
They're not game-changing, guys... though.
Yeah.
Sorry. So, as we know, as I take over Rob's show...
Okay.
You get six different commands, and you can pick five of them and timed each round secretly. And then when they apply, you pick which option of the two, because they give you two options for them. And then everything close 6 inches to a Necron character gets to be affected by it, as long as your warlord's on the table. If your warlord is ever killed, you lose all those command protocols.
Ooh. Okay.
And then the specific dynasties allow you to use both of that particular one. And then the Silent King allows you to pick four and then use one twice.
Wow. So, like, but you think the effects aren't particularly strong?
No, they're not huge. It's like plus one to move or, yeah, things like that. Or you can do an action and shoot still. Things like that for the objective game.
Yeah, we looked at the secondaries yesterday for both Marines and Necrons. And yep. I think that I like them both. I think the Marine one, I can't remember what his name is right now, where you basically just you score a point if you kill a monster or a vehicle. You score another point if you don't fail an attrition test. You score another point if you like are in the middle of the board. I feel like that's a bit cheesy because they just basically just get to play the game and then rack up points for just existing. Which I feel like, and the Necron ones, though, are a little bit more interesting and a little bit harder to achieve. Because one of the things I've been struggling with in my games is I've got two secondaries normally that I enjoy picking. Engage on all fronts, I always pick that. And then I've learned from Nick yesterday not to pick teleport homers, and I should be picking scramblers, maybe. But then the other one's normally based on my opponent. I'm like, okay, it's got a knight, I'll try Titan Slayer. He's got vehicles or enough vehicles, I'll try bring it down. You know, like thin their ranks if there's loads of bodies, but I don't really have a good third one, and I was kind of hoping that the books would kick out a good third one. For Marines, I feel like that they've just got a really good third one that's just part of playing the game, whereas Necron ones seem a lot more difficult to achieve.
And they're killy. The Necron ones are like, get off my porch. 2 points.
Yeah. it's a lot harder to achieve, I think, the Necron ones, and I do worry about where the imbalance might come in those secondaries for all the different, like, because I think the Marine one is super good. I think it's super, super good, and it's really easy for them to achieve that one. I think as we go forward with the other books, it's like, well, will the Orcs one be like, do 8 charges? And you're like, well, I only really charge with 3 units, one of them being the fucking Red Roller. You can hear me talk a lot about the Red Roller over the next few weeks.
Here's a question for Nikos. How many shards do you have? Do you have each and every one of them? Because you're going to want them. Do you want a Morty on the field? Your Nightbringer is now a Morty.
Or a Gazgul. Because they don't take the wounds, right?
Right. Every single one of them. So they're all pointed at 350 points. Straight across the board, no matter which one you take.
Okay.
They can only take 3 damage per phase, and they heal.
Yeah, so that's what I found so powerful about Gazi over the past few games is that they just fuck stuff. And it's just like, and your opponent, like Nick yesterday, we played a round where I would just like to know that, I don't know what the little wraith dudes with the blasters are. Not wraith lords. Wraith.
For Necrons?
Yeah, no, for Eldar.
Oh, the Dark Reapers? Dragons?
Guard. Wraith Guard.
Oh.
Right.
Yes.
So he lined up 5 Wraith Guard right in front of Gazi, and Gazi didn't take a wound. Yeah. But like in Nick's next turn, he had to be like, okay, I can't kill him this turn, like he won't die. So what do I do to just stop him? And I feel like that's true with the shards, right? Like you're just gonna be like, what do I do to stop the shards?
They lost their character keyword.
Oh, okay.
Like their characters, but they don't benefit from Lookout Sir anymore. Okay, so you can shoot. You can start shooting them right away.
Okay, unless if you can see them.
Well, yeah, they're pretty tall. If you actually see one, they're pretty high. Okay. They're big models.
Okay. So, but then they're going to be able to just. I mean, you could always put them in reserve.
And how dare you talk about Elder on a Necron show? By the way, the hated enemy of the Necrons.
It's okay. It's okay. Don't worry. Don't worry. Just punch Wave Serpents with Gaskor. That's all you got to do. Yeah, just punch him. But then the Deceiver could do the same thing. And, all of the shards. You think the shards are the one?
They'll kill you in the movement phase, and then they'll kill you in the shooting phase, and then they'll kill you in the melee phase.
Ooh. And then heal.
Yeah, they'll heal their one, and then you're only engaging them in their combat phase when they engage you. I think the Nightbringer can go into Morty, let Morty attack him, and then still wipe him off the board.
It makes me excited for what Morty might get. I would like to see Morty max 6 wounds per phase. I'd like to see something on him as well.
They didn't do that for the Silent King. The Silent King doesn't have any of those restrictions, but he has 26 wounds. So,
does he have 26?
Yeah, because you kill his stone pillars first, and each one of those has 5 hit points.
Wow!
And they're all tied into his data sheet essentially. So, and then he degrades. Catacross, as he gets beat up, he loses his DJs. The music gets considerably worse.
No, the DJs make the party happen, as we know. That's sad. That's really sad. But 26 wounds is pretty fucking strong. That's his wound thing. But the 3 wound cap on some models, or 4 wound cap per phase, I think is actually a really good mechanic. Now that I am through it, and I'm glad to see none of the Marines have it, but these special characters or these special units get it. I think that's really fun, and it makes me think who might get it in the future. I don't think either Morty will get more wounds because survivability is a massive issue for him, or he'll have to have something like that, I think. I hope.
But you can guard him. There's ways around Morty, and if you're really, if you look across your opponent and you see that you can wipe out in one turn, just deep strike him. Wait until the game state changes and then drop him in later.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. That's definitely a thing. Makes me think about. I just think it's a better mechanic than trying to give them 3+ invulnerable saves and re-rolling. There's stuff that skews the math quite heavily, whereas actually consistent damage over time will bring them down. Feels a little.
As a guy who always plays Morty, I'm your man to talk to.
And what do you think? Do you think there are what changes do you think need to be done to Morty to make him more survivable, or you don't think there needs to be any?
I think he's good. I think he's good where he's at because. The opponents that get F'd by him will consider he's too strong. And then the ones where he doesn't do enough, I think he's wasted. Well, I don't consider him wasted. I just didn't use him properly. Because you can Death Shroud, you can guard him up if need be. You're basically always just trying to get your points back. Anytime you field a big model like that, because he doesn't really buff the army. That's not what his purpose is for. He's out there to trade points. Whereas the Silent King is a harder one to judge with his point value because he's 450 points. So he's up there in the Morty realm. And he's a Golemon, basically, that can shoot big damage. And he actually fights really well, too. So
yes, it very much looks like Warrior Blobs are going to run around. Silent King is going to be the plan. That's what it looks like from my first pass.
Tesla Immortals, I think, rerolling all the hits would be beneficial. But the Tesla Immortals went up, too. They're now 19 points each, whereas they're 17 points with the Gauss Blaster. So you really, I don't know. But there's a Mortal Wound strat tied to the Teslas now, so you might be puzzling that off too.
It's interesting also, looking at the composition of the army, thinking about Tom's army the other day, and the fact that he didn't, I don't think he gave up any of the good, kill, strat, so to bring it down. Wasn't particularly strong on him because he's had the one big vehicle. He had the 3 vehicles, but it was okay, but thin their ranks, but you were never maxing that 15 points. I think Necrons also should be able to build an army that means that you can never really max out any of the kill secondaries against them.
Against them, no, but they're going to be going after the kill. Killmore, I think, is going to be pretty key for Necrons because they're very punchy. And they should be durable. I like the animation protocols. I had mixed thoughts. I thought it was overpowered when I kind of read it. But when you actually see it in play, it's just an after damage save. And then there's a lot of characters that can bring back the old school res in the beginning, but other than that, and it tied for, I think it's weaker on destroyers now, like any multi-wound kits like Wraiths and stuff. I think it's kind of lost on them now, in my opinion.
Like I talked about this on the show the other day, like you can't expect to res warriors who are much cheaper in the same way you would res an immortal. Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I've had the five Wraiths come back from one model left and your opponent going, oh cool. So I get it, but then I'm playing Necron, so you know, I'll take every advantage I could at that time.
I'm excited to deep dive it. Hopefully on Thursday's show, I think me, Nick, and Tom are going to be deep diving it. I will be doing it through the medium of song. Have you got any final thoughts on the book before I ask you some questions?
Oh, yeah. Shards. Shards are so good. They're just so damn good.
I really
like what they've done. Well, they're supposed to be like shards of their friggin' eternal slaves. Like, they're gods. And they were like kind of like little beat sticks, but nothing crazy. And now they're going to hit the table and people are going to be like, I got to deal with that. And they're going to come right at you. The Deceiver's changed quite a bit. You can only redeploy now in your own deployment zone. So he lost that ability to go out and touch someone. But they each do two casts now, like just across the board. They got their own specific powers tied to their names, except for the Destroyer one. The one they get in the Tesseract Vault. He's actually a lot worse than he was.
It's nice that the Necrons have had their power level pumped up to a degree that's viable now.
Yeah. And then Big Dick Alex and I think are going to go into a deep dive on his show tonight or tomorrow. We'll see. I got to record my podcast tonight and he'll be on it too. We're going to talk Night Hunt. Oh.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, good luck.
Yeah, thanks. Well, Alex is the one that's actually been pretty successful with them. So it wouldn't be good of me to do a podcast on Night Hunt and then not have him on. So.
Well, that'd be fun. That'd be fun to hear how, I feel like, yeah, I feel like everyone has tried with that book in like waves over the past 3 years and it's still viable. Like, don't get me wrong. But it's just, you look at the results and you think, what results have you actually got?
Yeah, I play them like tar pits and play the objective game, and that's how I've been successful with them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I've never tried them in just beat your opponent with them because I don't see the beat stick element in them yet, ever.
Nope. They're ghosts. I mean, how much power can they really bring to the true realms or life? So, like, because we started a bit late, we are going to, we're just going to wrap up. But I wanted to ask you a couple of questions, if that's okay.
Because I'm
born. No. I wanted to ask you in the Twitch chat, and I think only you I could ask this question to. So we've got Monday's show and Thursday's show. Which would you like to pick first? You've got to pick one of the two for the game. Monday's show or Thursday's show?
I want to pick Tuesday's show.
Nope. Oh, yeah, okay, fine. Tuesday show. We'll start with Tuesday show. Okay. So we're going to do fuck.
Who's the special guest, Rob?
Marry, kill for Tuesday's show.
Oh, I would.
And same to the Twitch chat.
I would fuck Val.
Why?
I would. I think it would be entertaining. Like, he's got a lot of temporary appealment, but I think if I had married to him, it would start to get on my nerves.
Wow.
Whereas I feel the Falcon, I would marry him because I feel like I would feel like protected. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a very strong companion and he would nurture me when I needed it, but he would also fuck up my enemies and then he would take care of my children. So yeah. Okay. And I guess I gotta kill you, Rob. I'm sorry. Because you're the only one else on the show.
That seems completely fair. Dan Don't has mixed it up in the chat. He's decided to fuck Tuesday completely, kill Thursday, and he's gonna marry Monday. Is his whole strategy. I think that's
shows, fair. Not days. He's basing that off shows, not the actual days, because that is weird. Who wants to marry a Monday?
No one. But Monday's show is obviously great. I feel also you need to kill Thursday's show because it's too dangerous. Like, it's there's too much power on the Thursday show.
Oh, yeah. And at some point, we're going to get the Leighton and Dayton show going.
Leighton and Dayton show. Oh, I am so down for that on the Honest Wargamer. I can't wait. I can't wait. So would you like to ask a question about the other two shows, Monday and Thursday? That's Monday. I'm giving you Monday now. Curveball on the Monday.
So same thing, I assume. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, I would fuck James. Yeah, I'd go hard into James. Like, lift him up in the shower. Like, don't let him support himself on anything other than me.
Visceral. He's very hairy as well, so like the water adds to it.
I'd marry Nate because that's the kind of entertainment and commitment that I'd want. And if I ever broke my cupboards while I'm baking, like, he would be there to fix it. And I need that.
He'd also emotionally support you in ways you don't even understand.
Right? And he would keep it interesting in the bedroom. Like, that's long commitments right there.
He would.
We would have a dungeon. There would be a dungeon, I'm sure.
Yeah, Yes Meatballs is correct. James would be looking at his phone the entire time, though. It would be very demoralizing.
He's not there mentally, for sure.
It's clocked out. I guess I get killed again. I've enjoyed this. Good. Good. I think that seems very fair. All right. Well, Dayton, it's been lovely having you on the show. Thank you very much. I can't contain my enthusiasm for New 40K. And if you guys would like to check Dayton out and the Party at All Points podcast, which you can also, how's the missus doing with the Warhammering?
Oh, she's doing great. She had no idea that she would get Twitter 300 likes and a ton of followers of one day based off of one post. But she's doing a really interesting take on getting into the miniature hobby. And unfortunately now she knows the price of it all, which is fine, whatever. It was going to happen at some point. But she digs it. She's into it. We'll see if we can get some games in at some point. But she's still assembling her models. And I just got her a Leviathan. So that is on the way.
Oh, cute. Does she know it's on the way?
Oh, yeah. I tell her. I don't surprise that girl. She knows me too well.
You get handsy.
I can say whatever I want in front of her. She knows it. It's when I do it in front of her dad, though, that she starts to give me the weird looks. But her family knows who I am. I don't change.
It's really cool seeing her in the hobby and on Twitter. Whenever like it pops up, I always make sure I give it a retweet. It's nice seeing some more ladies generally joining the hobby.
It's neat. She did her ladies episode with the girls, and she didn't really know what she was talking about or getting into, and now she's getting the physical concept established after doing all the theory, right?
Yeah.
So it's neat to see it all kind of evolve, and she's still into it. I tried to help her with one of her minis, and she's like, no, that's mine. Thank you. I'm like, yeah.
Wait, what's this? Grinaldi says, how about instead of marry, fucking kill, we play versus narrative versus competitive and with on a team tournament. Okay, let's do that for Thursday.
Oh, that's a good one.
So on Thursday, thank you, Grinaldi. Great suggestion. So Thursday, me, Tom, and Nick, who would you play in a narrative match? Who would you play in a competitive match? And who would you be on a team with?
That's too easy for that cast, though. I would narrative versus Nikos, because he just really gets in there with the lore and everything. Like, he knows what he's talking about. Like, I would be there, you know? Like, I think there'd be, like, smoke effects and a light show, music. He would tie music into it for sure. He would come up with this huge backstory. Like, yeah, that's the Nikos I know. Mm-hmm. I'd play competitive against Tom, because, really, you're playing against a computer, and that's perfect.
Would you ask him to bring his A game so he, like, fully velociraptored you?
Okay. Always. I don't want to win a game and being like, because you handicapped yourself. No, come at me full. And then obviously Rob and I are team tournament and we would get to maybe turn two.
In every match.
Just way too much talking and laughing for sure.
Who else would be on our team? Oh my God. So many suggestions.
And then I'd kill John Scrivens.
Just additionally kill John Scrivens. That works completely. All right, well, Dan, lovely.
And then fuck
the
James
show.
Again.
I'm gonna message him this later. Hey James, you should listen to this podcast. Like, no.
Like all the piercings and stuff too. You know, he's in a little bit of pain. Like, I'm cool. We're good. We can take that. We can take that. Interesting.
So you're conflating it. You're thinking like big rock. He's like sad boy emo. That's where he's at. Like he plays Lumineth. Like he's like listening to Brand New, and he's just like you know, Cute Without the E. He's just like all about that, and it's super sad. And
yeah, he's like the librarian, and then when you get them into that atmosphere, they turn into a completely different beast.
Have you heard of a band called La Dispute?
No, unfortunately.
I'll send you that band later. He is a physical representation of La Dispute, and you guys should listen to them. They're just screamy. Anyway, it doesn't matter. All right, well,
Rob, how are you doing? Oh no, you can't leave yet. How are you doing?
Things are good. Yeah, good. I'm trying to get some windows into my flat because my flat doesn't have all the windows. I don't know if I told you about that, but that's fine.
It's just open?
It's just got no.
Because you want the birds. So the birds still own the place.
No, I fought the birds away, so that's fine. I'm just building some stuff. So I'm excited about that. What else? Do you heard I got a toilet seat last week?
Have I told you that? Nathan went and got you a toilet seat from the measurement of your arm. Which is just a great measurement.
Yeah. So got to
as long now. As you, yeah. And then T-Sports back.
In 2 weeks. 2 weeks. So yeah. We sorted out. There was a recording issue where it was recording quite a low frame rate. Fix that. There was a problem where none of the stuff would talk to each other. Fix that. Fish is coming next week to fix some more tables so that the overheads work like for the pairings tables. So that'll be fixed. Fix that. I fixed the audio on the headsets and also in the booth because the booth was a bit janky, so fix that. So that's really good. The overlays, Tom has fixed all those and I've integrated them, which is really, really big. One of the really important parts was the way all the overlays are created is like Tom made an app so that a bit like ITC Battles where you just record all the scores and it updates all the overlays. But they also update all the overlays on the website as well, and they also kick out all of the graphics, which is super clever. But now, one of the things that I was struggling with was getting enough data from the table bosses. They were informing us in the ear, but because there's four tables, I wanted like a lookup screen. For the name of the four tables, we wrote it like on the fucking wall, where we were conversating.
That would be good for you, Rob.
Tom, because Tom's super clever, so Tom has made it so that when you update the app, it also kicks out. There's now a commentator screen. So the commentators now have more like real-time data. So if I'm like going to table three, I know that table three is updated. Anyway, I really, really got to go. Really, really got to go. Listen, thank you to everyone.
Go read that book. Shoot me texts. Shoot me messages. What you think of it.
You guys are all great. I'll talk to you all soon. Thank you for everyone. We'll see you soon.